I don't know how long this is gonna last, so we'll find out. But I do have a, this is a little different. I do have a bit of a story, interesting things to share. So last year I was at a event, 2024. It was for a video game, and I think this video game is pretty high intensity. You have to do a lot. I think it's one of the most physically demanding activity games. Does anyone know what this game is? Pokemon Go. And Pokemon Go is very physical and it involves the body. So I got a sense of that. What is the goal of Pokemon Go? Gotta catch them all. And that is most notably, you want to catch the rare things that occur during this. And this was a special event in New York, and it was a period of time where it's like more novel things were showing up. So you could go out and catch them all. Is the game easy? You could say it's easy. The other question is it skill based? Do you require skills to play it? And I would actually say that it requires a lot of skill. From there's like the very micro level where you have to know how to like throw, where to things to press, and then to the level of the interface where you have to manage your quest. You have to figure out which Pokemon are nearby. You have to manage your inventory. Your friends and your gift systems. So that's within the game. But then a little beyond, you have to figure out your pathing. Where do you want to go from and to? So there's things that I can access here, but I can exhaust all the Pokemon and all the stops and the items here. So I have to go somewhere else. But why would I go somewhere else? So that's some pathing. I want to go to places that are higher density with more Pokestops to get more items to get more Pokemon. So that's one thing that I have to think about as well. The other thing is there are things called raids where it's a period of time where you can catch a Pokemon, but it only is for a period of time, usually like 30 minutes, and then they'll reset. So you also have to think about, do I want to go in that direction to do that raid? So that is part of the pathing. That's in game. That's what the game gives you. But in the physical sense, there's also parts of the pathing as well. You have to cross streets. This is also New York, so there's going to be lots of cars. So do I have to figure out, do I want to go that direction or not? Am I going to get hurt that way? Is it easy to go that way? Is that a hill over there? I want to figure out ways to manage around that. And then the highest level is the, I would say, is like the human physical level. Obviously, I can mark all these things and say it's like I'll go here and here and here. That's easy to like have like a optimal zigzag path. But I am limited. What am I limited by? I get tired. I get thirsty. There are some places I want to go and some places I don't want to go. So sometimes if I have a target, if I want to eat at a certain place, I will have to think about that from the human level too. I think another one, this was the summertime. So a human issue was I want to find out where there's shade. So I want to walk in a place that's comfortable. So, this is obviously, you don't really think about it too much when you're playing, but it is something that you kind of have to keep track of. There's a lot of things that I have to do in the game, in physical, things I have to manage in my actual inventory in my bag. And I think that's a lot of the aspects of what it means to have a body. There's different parts doing different things. Now, what is probably the most important skill in this game? Like, if you were good at this, what would improve your gameplay the most? If you want to catch Pokemon, I think it's pretty easy. Like, everybody can throw the Pokeball, everyone can spin the stop. But the thing that gets you the most value, in 10 hours. Not bad. So, it's like driving a car 60 miles per hour in 30 minutes. That's how far you have to walk. And for that, it's like, okay, I know what's possible. I know what's good. Now I consider, what does my different body parts have to do to support this goal? I think the easy one is my legs. They have to, move up and down to move me distance. The hands, they're actually the ones playing the game. They're tapping the buttons in the interface. Then I have some of my other senses, like my eyes. All right, I sure I gotta see. But I also gotta see the game as well as the road, so I don't get hit. Ears also help with that, and I'm also simultaneously thinking about, where am I going? Is this a good place? Do I need this, or do I need to go back? I'm thinking about these things too. And the last thing I'd like to bring up is my back. I have to carry a bunch of stuff with me so that I can play it successfully. So most notably, you have to bring food. Water is very heavy and is actually a part of it, because you don't want to bring too much, but if you bring too little, you're gonna run out. So that's also a physical thing you have to keep refreshing, because you don't want to run out, but then you want to go to a park to know which one has a water fountain that you can drink from so you can refill it. So there's a lot of physical things that you have to manage as well. And if you decline on any one of them, it declines your gameplay. You're not as optimal. You don't get to go as far. You may not catch one or two things, but that is kind of how the human body works together. So for today, I will be looking at 1 Corinthians 12 to take a look at the parts of the body. So I will start in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need for you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on the parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. I will pray. Dear God, we thank you for this passage. We see that you have called together the church to be a body, with different parts, different functions. And I pray that through this message, we see how our physical bodies, how they react and interact with each other. Help us to understand that the church body is also something of a similar level, where it is dependent on each other to do different functions. Lord, help me to be able to communicate this well, and help open hearts and ears to understand the greatness that you have in this church body through this chapter. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this section of the Bible is about the church and the body. It is calling together many different things to a unified thing. This is a universe, unity while also being a diverse group. So there are three kind of notable aspects of God calling together a unity while while the part portions are diverse. One of them is here in the church. We have a unity unified together to be a church, but they are very different. They have different functions and different parts. The other one is marriage, where God's calls together male and female to be joined together to work together as a unit. And the ideal example is going to be God himself as a Trinity, how they are together, unified yet distinct. So this idea of unity and diversity, we sense God's personhood through this interaction. One of the big points in the beginning is that there is division in the church. There is distinction, at least. They talk about Jews and Greeks and slaves and free. There's distinction. They know that they're classified differently. But in the same way, you classify different body parts. This is a hand, this is a foot. How do you deal with that? And in the previous section, there was talking about spiritual gifts, where people have different spiritual gifts, some for prophecy, teaching, healing. What about that? Those look like they're differences as well. How do you manage all of those differences? Well, one of the ideas of this is that we see that Paul wants us to not call together them as a body, but to acknowledge that you are a body part. He's not trying to grab a bunch of people together and it's like, you are now a body. But God has established, and it's our job to recognize that this is a part of a body. We recognize that that is different, but it is still part of the body. We recognize what a hand is, what a hand does. We recognize what the ear does and what the ear is. So one of the big parts is we have to recognize that there are differences in the church. And simultaneously, we have to understand that these are pleasing to God. God has designed it to be that in 18. But as it is, God arranged the members of in the body, each one as he chooses. God has already designed for the members to be different, and God has designed it in a way that each one has its own form. And it's actually good that there is diversity because God has designed it as such. Now, why is this diversity, diverse differences, everyone has different gifts, why is that useful? I mean, it would be really nice if everyone was able to do all the aspects. But one of the big usefulness about specialization is that you can focus in one aspect, and because things are so complex and difficult, that one aspect can be better. But because it's specialized, it's not able to do all things. The body is really useful because it can do different things. Each one is gifted differently. The legs are stronger than the arms, which is stronger than the neck. The back is decently strong, but it's pretty limited in movement. So each one has a different aspect and different role, and it's pleasing to God to sense those differences. And each one is designed and called for a different role. Each one is also limited in its aspect. And it's also having to deal with a lot of complex aspects of life as well. So, how do they interact though? When the different parts of the body do their job, they also empower other parts of the body to do their job. If my legs are good, I can move around to get items to feed my brain. If my hands are good, I can reach things and catch things, and I can strategize to do more things. So faithfully doing each of the body parts further helps other body parts do their jobs. The body is very dependent on each other. And with the spiritual gifts enumerated in the previous section where Paul is talking about, he wants us to acknowledge that there are different spiritual gifts, but he also wants to be empowered to use those spiritual gifts so that so that it can encourage the body, and that helps to encourage other people. So I think one of the things that is important is that some parts of the body, there's a lot of contention in the body where some things that some people think that, hey, I'm not useful. Other people are like, hey, that's not, I don't need that part. That part's not useful. And it causes that division in the body. And I will say from some points of views, maybe it's like, this is not useful here. Maybe it's useful in another case. When we are physically bound in the body, we acknowledge that there are some parts that are useful for some tasks and not for other tasks. But in certain instances, they may be useful later on. I think from my example, I was pretty good at knowing directions, which in this day and age is not very useful because everybody just goes on Google Maps and is able to tell, right? Like I could tell you that which direction is north from this room. I don't know. Some people may be able to tell, but some people are like super blind by like what direction north is, somewhere in that way. But that aspect, that was a sense that I had that what I thought was not useful. But then Pokemon Go comes along and they give you a map, but they detract all the symbols from it just to simplify the interface. That I feel like was a gift that I had that was like not useful, not taking it, not like it wouldn't be useful, but I guess it was useful in this case. I feel like that is something that God calls different parts of the body. Maybe we're good at some things every now and then. Maybe it's kind of weird, but maybe it does come useful some other cases. And on the body parts, when the foot says, hey, I'm not a hand, I should go home, I should leave, I don't want to contribute. God is calling those people. It's like, hey, God has empowered you, given you something. You may not sense it's useful at this moment, but maybe it is useful somewhere else. But don't take yourself out of the body. You should still contribute to it. In the same way, some people who have higher abilities, like the eye says to the hand, I have no need for you. Well, there's some things the hand does that the eye can't. And when other members start to reject other members, it is also trying to push away parts of the body. God wants the church to come together and not to be separate and cut apart. And once again, this is all God arranging the body parts to be working together in this way. So, what is the purpose of the body? I think the purpose of the body, I will go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and we'll start with verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, he ascended to the high, ascended on high. He led a host of the captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended to the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fit all things. And he gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip them saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and from by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. I'll end there. But God has called the body to a purpose. And the purpose is most notably found in 13. We want to have some unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, and to mature and to measure up to the fullness of Christ. He wants us to improve in all these ways. And I think the best one is the best summary of them is going to be fullness of Christ. We want to be like Christ as much as possible. That is our goal as the body. And each one has different member parts that contribute to it. Now, I'll bring him back to my example. What is the goal of playing Pokemon Go? Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch the rare ones, particularly. But I will bring something that happened during this trip at about 10 a.m. At 10:02 specifically, I felt my foot start to hurt. It was felt like the bottom, and then I was like, you know, I'll walk it off. I have plenty of time to do that. And then it still kept persisting for a bit until about 10:30, 10:45. And it was seriously, it was seriously getting in the way. So I went late, this is later after the event. I went to the health services at my workplace, and then they said I had a plantar fasciitis or a sprained tissue on the bottom of my foot. So it connects the heel to each of the toes. It was sprained, so that's kind of like the tension. So every time you walk, you know, you're like your foot bends. So kind of like stretch, it'll stretch that, and then it'll go back and forth, right? So sprain things, you don't. It's uncomfortable to like move the sprained thing. I think sprained ankle, you want to like keep it pretty stiff, so it prevents movement. So my this was on my left foot. What does the rest of my body want to do? What is the goal of this event? My goal is to catch them all, right? That's what my the rest of my body wants to do. What does my foot want to do? It also wants to catch them all, but it is limited. It feels like it cannot do the aspect that is that it wants to do. So it's calling out that it has an issue, but its goal has not changed. It still wants to do the mission. For us, you can consider that if we're strug if one of the individual members of the church is struggling, does it still want to propagate the church? Does it still want to improve in the spirit? It doesn't mean that its issues are not ignored, but its mission is still the same. How does my foot still continue to support the goal, even though it may have some difficulties? So I broke down some of the things that I did. The first one is I have to acknowledge, the body has to acknowledge that there's pain. This is an issue. It wants to, it has, it's like, this is a problem. We need to resolve it. What does my body do in response to it? It acknowledges that there are restrictions with it. It is not as dependable. And the rest of my body has to compensate for it. So this is my left foot. It's not able to move as much. What's something that you do normally when your foot starts to hurt? You start limping. So limping is where you have to depend more on your other foot to move around. So the left foot is not able to flex and move as much. So which one ends up moving a lot more is my right leg. My right leg ends up moving a lot more. Specifically, my right thigh down here, because it has to do a lot more of the pushing. So at the end of the day, this was like super exercise. But the different parts of the body have to acknowledge that there is an issue. It acknowledges that there's restrictions, and then it will ask for help. Now, asking for help is very, of course, it sounds nice, but as a Christian, we have a deeper call to ask for help. In fact, to become a Christian, you have to ask for help, saying, knowing, acknowledging that you are not able to do this. So when this is applied to the body, when different body parts cry out for help, It's not a sign of weakness, but it is a sign of reality of how things are. So my right thigh has to compensate. What does my pathing have to do? My pathing changes as well. I'm not able to go as far. I have to take more breaks. So what does my mind do instead? I have to think about, hey, I probably need to go to some more parks, some more places that have areas to sit as opposed to normal streets, rest in certain restaurants that I may know about. So my mind also has to compensate. My back has to compensate more. And another one that I had is my hands have to compensate more. How do my hands compensate? When I'm going up stairs and handrails, I have to depend more on my arms to keep myself balanced and supported. This is all in contrast to, this one issue that happened on my foot. So the whole body works together, to support. What does my foot want to do? My foot still has a goal. It's still doing the best that it can, I will say. So this happened at 10:30. How much longer do I have for this event? Some say 8 hours if they're paying attention, but I will also expand that this is a 3-day event. So I have over 28 hours since I had this sensation left to go. But one thing I realized is that what's the main problem with my foot? It doesn't do well bending back and forth like that. But one of the things that it can do decently is it can actually go upstairs pretty well because there's not as much need to have to change that angle and direction. So from the foot side, it's like I acknowledge that I'm in pain. I'm not able to do this, but this is okay. This is more okay. It sends that signal to my body and the brain. It's like, okay, if I see a sloped area, maybe I'll look for some stairs instead if I still want to go in that direction. So even though I take that to be, there are members of the body. Sometimes they're doing well, they're strong, but if someone's weak, are they still focused on the goal of the church, which is to improve, to measure up to the statue of Christ? Are they still, they may not be able to contribute fully as my foot is not able to, but it still does what it can. And it also still is able to identify, hey, this is some aspect that I can still fully contribute. It doesn't just give up and say, it's like, hey, all on crutches, put me in a cast. It still has that sensation that, hey, I can still do a little bit of work. So that's how I would understand someone in the body who is hurting. They have to acknowledge it. They do raise it, but they do see, still have that mission in mind, and they still want to contribute to it. In the same way, the rest of the body has to join together and support it, give honor to that. And I think at the end of the 1 Corinthians 26, let me flip back to it. This is where I really sense the idea of if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, what does my, when I'm playing Pokemon, does my body celebrate? Sometimes when I approach of like I find a rare Pokemon, I get excited. My body celebrates. It's like, yes. Like my brain, my hands, like that feels good. How about my foot? Does it feel excited when things happen? Yeah, kind of. It's like, hey, I may not have been able to contribute my standard amount. I contributed a little bit, but I'm still really happy that we were able to accomplish certain goals. I take that to be, as parts of the body. The body's not always at 100%, but it's still excited when things happen, even when it itself is not fully capable. And comparing it to the part where it thinks about the foot being like, I'm out of here, I'm leaving, I can't contribute, I'm not doing well. It should still actually be called to celebrate when the church has something to celebrate over. Now, the first night, I did have to take a bit to recover. So I slept early. I got some extra ice and stuff to put on the bottom. I was in the shower for like 45 minutes sitting on the ground because it was pretty tough. But then what happened the next day? Next day, I started feeling a little better. You know, I still wasn't pushing it. I acknowledged that there was a pain, but it was like maintaining that it can still do a little more, and it was still able to contribute. And we walked, I walked some other distances as well. Now, the last part is, what is something that my body did before the event in preparation for this? Was this the first time that I had played a Pokemon event? No. Had I done something like this before? Had I done something? Have I been to New York before? I have been to New York before. I have known how to walk. Before, I've been able to walk 20 miles in a day. So my body was trained for this. It is able to take on this level of difficulty. And in this time, consider that my body is connected. It knows its capabilities. I know, okay, I've been able to walk 20 miles playing a Pokemon Go event. I've been able to get like 15 because, you know, you're not just walking. You have to like focus and do other things. So I know what my standard should be like. My body is in tune with what I'm physically capable of. And so when my leg was hurt, I knew, I was like, okay, I can't expect 15 miles. What can I expect? And over this 3-day event, I was able to average 12 miles a day, which is obviously not 15, but it's still quite good considering. Had I not played Pokemon before, been to New York before, been good at walking in general, I probably would not have been able to accomplish such a feat. And during these times of suffering, it is very dependent on what the church does before it is suffering. Is the church aware of the other capabilities that the body has beforehand? Does it know what each part does? Does it know what each part is capable of? And does the body know how they can support each other? I did not know my right thigh would have to compensate for my left foot so much. But I knew that my right thigh was pretty well trained. It had done a lot. So having to take on this extra burden, extra load, was possible. And it was still able to accomplish a lot. So understanding what each of my body part does, it helps to resolve any issues that come up. And I think this really draws into the idea of, there are times when my body is healthy and plentiful that I played this game. And when it came to this time that it was not, there was a deficit or something, I look back and I'm like, hey, I have prepared in advance for this to happen. I know what my body does. I know what it's trained. Do I know people in the church who have different gifts and skills? Do I know what I can rely on them for? And I consider that with, I'll flip to this last section of Genesis 14. I'm 41. Where it is on Joseph and the prediction of the next years. So what does he sense? He senses that there's going to be 7 years of plentifulness and 7 years of famine. This case, he knows that the hard times are coming. As Christians, we don't know when the next time of famine is going to be, but what is the goal that Joseph does when things are plentiful? And that is verse 33. Genesis 41, verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers to the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. Let them gather all the food of these good years that are that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. When there are times of plentifulness, it is a preparation for the times of famine. When the other times I played Pokemon Go and I was quite healthy, I was training my body to know some of the interfaces of the game, some of the places to go, some of my, well, clearly the physical capabilities of it that I want to improve, so that when the time of famine come, when I was not able to do as well, it was trained. It was able to still do maybe not the full amount. The people in Egypt were not having feasts during the famine, but it was able to sustain itself a little bit and still make some progress. So this is how I felt like my body was analogous to the church. Do I know other members of the church, what they do? Am I cutting off certain parts that I may not want to? And am I preparing for the times when things do get difficult with any particular individual that I need them to support me, or maybe I need to support them? One of the things that I think is instrumental is that the reason why we have a group is not for the good times. I can have good times on my own. We want to be together for the bad times, because that is where I'm difficult. That is where we are vulnerable. So am I prepared for those times? And I think that is one of the ideas that I really drew from this section of the body of Christ, knowing that they're all different, they're all valuable, and they're all useful, and that we need to acknowledge and embrace that. And when things are difficult, and when things are called to have more, is the body able to contribute to each other, to support each other in that time? I'll pray. Dear God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for giving us the idea of a body. We thank you for giving us ways to support ourselves when times are difficult, and the body is able to have so many different forces and capabilities. May we be able to acknowledge them and celebrate when there are things to be celebrated over, and suffer together as there are things to suffer together for. The body is so salient to us because we all have a body, but when different parts are lacking, we all suffer for it. Help us to understand that this suffering, it could be happening in the body of Christ, and help us to understand that the healthy members have a job as well as the weakened members. We all work together towards your goal of being more and more like you. So help us to understand that, to grow us into your kingdom more and more. We all desire to meet this goal, and help us to, despite our weaknesses. And thank you for providing us a way that we can manage this. In Jesus' name, amen.